We present However by Al Hunter, an epic folk tale of heroism, courage, determination,
and the slip of a pen.
Starring John Gordon Sinclair as André Taras Bulba, Willie Rushton as Tsar Nikolai, Alison Dowling as the Princess Elisaveta, and Graham Seed as Peter Dmitry Petrovich Romanov III.
I often wonder what might have become of me had I not been educated. What became of me because I was is the subject of this small tome. Where to begin? It all started in a small army office in Vladivostok, and a recruitment sergeant called Andropov.
Andrei Taras Bulba.
Yes, sir.
It says here you can write.
Yes, sir.
But you're a Cossack, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
And you can read and write?
Yes, well, we don't all go around ravaging Poland, you know.
Shame I don't, if you ask me.
And I'm only half Cossack, if you must know, on my mother's side.
What was your father, then?
I don't know. I never met him. My mother said he was some soldiers.
Propaganda.
Sorry?
Propaganda. Soft job, soft lad.
Oh, thank you.
Ex. Over here, boy.
I don't know whether he felt sorry for me or not, but whatever, his snap decision saved me from the front and led me instead to the Department of Propaganda and Information, a rather grand title for a snow-covered shack in the middle of Russo-Manchuria.
Oh, come in, come in. Stand at ease, chaps. In fact, as we're alone, let's forget all that army rigmarole here, eh? After all, we're none of us exactly real soldiers.
The voice of Honorary Captain Nikolai Trigorin, a reluctant commanding officer.
Have you two chaps met?
Not really, sir. We've done a bit of marching together.
Oh, hardly together.
Andrei Taras Bulba, at your service.
Peter Dmitry Petrovich Romanov III, pleased to meet you.
Oh. Any relation to Ambassador Petrovich Romanov?
His son, sir.
And no doubt the reason you've secured this attractive little posting, eh?
I would be lying were I to deny it, Captain. Although I did ask for this department specifically. I am interested in work of a journalistic nature. But actually, I've won several contests for storytelling and have written many works of fiction.
Ah, fiction. Lying. Interesting words, Honorary Sergeant Petrovich. One man's lie is another man's propaganda. Propaganda is fiction, and fiction, gentlemen, is the very reason for our existence. Our job is to tell lies for our country, make this war look like it's worth winning. Your particular task, gentlemen, is to find prospective heroes. At least two candidates a week, preferably alive. If you can't find the real thing, make it up. Otherwise, we'll find ourselves at the front with the rest of the poor buggers. Understood?
Yes, sir.
Thus instructed, I and Peter Dmitry Petrovich, my newly found colleague, obediently headed towards the front lines to find ourselves a hero. It was our first and last visit.
Andrei! Over here in this bunker!
Oh, this is bloody depressing.
Not to mention dangerous. Bodies everywhere, total chaos.
I'm surprised we ever win anything.
We don't.
Not really.
What do you mean?
We won the winter campaign. We're pushing them back, aren't we?
You've made a mistake, my dear Andrei Taras, of believing our own report. So I know we don't tell the odd invader, quell the odd uprising, but have you ever asked yourself why?
Well, we've got the best army, I suppose.
Poppycock! Look, the defense of this country has got nothing to do with a disciplined army. We've got three weapons in Russia, land, weather, and best of all men, better known as cannon fodder. If the distance doesn't stop the enemy advancing, we throw a few million bodies at them, hold them back until November, and then let the winter finish the poor bastards off.
Do I detect a note of sarcasm?
My dear chap, I'm deadly serious. Why do you think we encourage all the peasants to keep breeding? Cannon fodder, I tell you.
My God, that's pretty damn accurate.
But really, that's our side firing. Shall we make a run for it?
Yeah, I suppose so.
After three.
Three!
From that day on, we confined ourselves to our small but comfortable offices, and determined to report the war without the dubious pleasure of actually witnessing it.
Anything good?
Hardly. The messenger says they've fallen back to a place called do that. I can't read the name. It's covered in blood. Anyway, 5,000 killed or injured since yesterday.
What's that go down as? Valiant resistance against overwhelming odds?
That'll do.
The work, however, did have its rewards. It was even rumoured that some of our reports were read by the Tsar himself. Unfortunately, the rumours proved to be true.
No.
Well, there's this one, Your Majesty. It was at this point that the 4th Cavalry bravely decided to retreat no further.
Retreat? We don't want stories of retreats, Yeltsin. Yeah. We want a grand hero of the Russian Empire. The court expects it. And grand heroes are not involved in retreats.
You should let me go out into the field, Papa. I could pretend to be a nurse, just like that awfully nice Florence Nightingale lady, and find a hero amongst the wounded.
Oh, not her again.
Oh, she was a lovely lady.
She was a thundering nuisance, Elizabetta. She killed more bally men than she saved. I told her, you don't use bleach to clean wounds. But would she listen?
Anyway, I could go out disguised as a nurse and find us a real hero. Oh, a real man, rugged, and yet with the air and breeding of a proper gentleman.
Out of the question, my dear. Far too dangerous.
But I want to do something important, Pupperkins. I can't just wander around the palace all day looking angelically beautiful.
There's definitely the makings of a candidate in this chap, Your Majesty.
Go on, then. Read it out.
By the end of the day, an enemy pincer movement forced the 3rd Cossack Light Cavalry into a valley from which there was unfortunately no escape. At this moment, Lieutenant, however, rallied the men, leading a counterattack against a far superior force, an attack which so inspired the other units that a full battle was soon underway and the day was saved for the Imperial forces.
Oh, well, it's a start. What was the name again?
Lieutenant However, Your Majesty.
However. An odd name.
Well, I think he sounds perfectly scrummy to me. Well, let's have him in and pin the old medal on him pronto before he tops it.
I suppose we could find out a bit more about him. Perhaps you could do that, my dear. You're always asking to be more involved in palace business.
Yes, but I meant duties outside the palace grounds. The soldiers.
Out of the question. What's next, Yeltsin?
You have a meeting with the Chancellor in 10 minutes, Your Majesty.
Oh, dear, the new war tax. Well, it shouldn't take long. I think I've come up with just the thing.
Oh, splendid, Your Majesty. May I inquire?
Certainly, Yeltsin. I intend to tax windows.
Windows, Your Majesty?
Yes. The peasants do have windows, don't they?
They tend not to, Your Majesty.
Oh, dear. Oh, well. Back to the drawing board.
This one's for you, Andrew Terrace. The powers that be want a further medal assessment on this Lieutenant However chap.
However? Doesn't ring a bell.
Well, you wrote it. Here.
At this moment, Lieutenant However rallied the men, leading a counterattack against a far superior force.
That's a chap. However, is that a Cossack name?
No, not at all. Wow, I see what's happened. I wrote this by hand. Someone in HQ must have typed it up wrong.
What do you mean?
Well, it wasn't Lieutenant However rallied the men. It's meant to read, the Lieutenant, however, rallied the men. It wasn't one person at all.
You mean it was math stupidity?
Well, I suppose that's one way of putting it. 3rd Cossack Cavalry, remember? As you may well recall, what I failed to put in that report was that the Lieutenant's brave rally was rather ill-conceived. We won the day. The Lieutenants all got killed.
Yes, better still. Write and tell them that he's snuffed it and there's less paperwork. They'll give him a posthumous.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Right. Well, if you'll excuse me, I'd better get on with my latest epic while the muse is still with me.
One moment, Peter. You've dropped your letter.
Letter?
Yeah.
Not mine, old chap. Must have fallen out of the St. Pete's post bag. I'll catch you later.
No. No, it's not. It's addressed to Lieutenant, however. A non-existent soldier only gets one more letter than I do. So who's been writing to my little slip of the pen, then? Dear Lieutenant, however, please excuse the presumption of my writing to you when we have not been formally introduced. My name is Florence...
My name is Florence Zinaida Yegorushka. I am a nurse in the Imperial Palace, St. Petersburg. I hope you will not think it too forward of me writing... But in some small way, I hope this letter will impress upon you and your fellow officers that despite the huge distance between the court and the battlefields, we, the frail women of Russia, hold you in deep esteem. Would it be too presumptuous
of me to ask you
to
return a few words acknowledging receipt of this humble letter?
I so long to hear more of your daring adventures. Yours respectfully, Florence Zinida Yugurushuka. Fan mail for a work of fiction.
Well, why not? Why the hell not?
I picked up my pen, little realizing that at the same time it was also the key to a Pandora's box that would very nearly lose me my life. Within months, letters between Lieutenant However and Florence Yugrushka were being exchanged on a daily basis. Of course, all the time, both parties ignorant of the other's real station in life. The lieutenant corresponding with a nurse, who was in fact the heir to the throne of all Russia, and the Princess Elisaveta, with a lieutenant who was no more than a clerk in the propaganda office. A recipe, if ever there was one, for disaster. The situation was not helped, of course, by my overzealous imagination. By the end of 6 months, Lieutenant However had not only saved Russia several times over, but most of the world to boot. What is more, Lieutenant Stefan Stefanovich, however, was slowly but surely falling in love with Florence Zinida, and she with him.
My dear Lieutenant, however.
Call me Stefan.
My dearest Stefan.
My dearest Florence.
Stefan, my darling.
Beloved Florence.
Steffi.
Flo.
Your letters are like manna from heaven.
Like the first ray of a warming sun after a long, cold winter.
Fresh blood running through my veins. I am filled with a yearning for you.
I am like a new man with you, revitalized.
But I am only half a woman without you at my side.
And so on, and so on, and so on. Until one day, I received a letter that took all my joy and shriveled it to nothing in one simple, scented page.
My precious Stefan, you are truly a giant amongst men. It is therefore utterly beyond my comprehension that you should not have been honored by the Tsar himself. I have a little influence with the royal household in my humble position as a nurse, and I shall endeavor with all my heart to recommend that you should be decorated here.
To recommend that you should be decorated here in St. Petersburg as soon as possible. Oh, no, what have I done? What the hell do I think I'm up to?
What's the problem, Andrei Taras?
Nothing. Would you excuse me for a moment, gentlemen? I've rather an urgent personal letter to write.
She giving you trouble, Honorary Sergeant?
Sir?
Oh, come now, Bulba. You're amongst friends here. We know you've got a little filly somewhere. We're not stupid, you know.
No, but I most definitely am. And so, my dearest Florence, there is absolutely no need at all to recommend that I come to St. Petersburg to be decorated. Actually, there is no need for me to be decorated at all. I consider it the greatest honor any man could receive to simply remain here and serve the Tsar and the Imperial Russian Empire. This, for me, is enough reward. Go on, Andrei. You know you must. And it is with deep regret that I must inform you that this may
this
be the
may
last,
be the last letter you receive from me for some time, my dear sweet Florence. Oh, my brave Stefan. I will never let them take you from me. You have done enough for your country.
That night, one of the saddest of my life, I determined never again to write to Florence. I buried her letters at the bottom of my drawer and tried to drink her out of my head. The hangover, as I recalled, was as long and as hard as the Siberian winter, only twice as inconvenient. I struggled through the next few days, heartbroken, aching, thinking that my love affair by letter was gone forever. How wrong I was.
But, Papa, Lieutenant However is the bravest man in the whole of Russia. You simply must bring him to court.
What do you think, Count Yeltsin?
Well, he certainly does seem to have the right pedigree. What I can't understand, Your Majesty, is why Lieutenant However hasn't come to our attention before now.
It's not surprising to me. You bureaucrats, you're always losing people. Look at all those political prisoners you lost in the Baltics. It took an uprising to remind you they existed.
There was another matter, my dear. There are politics.
You've always said I should take more interest in affairs of states, Papa, and I have. I've found you a hero. Well, the least you could do is have the curtsy to decorate him.
Yes, point taken, beloved. Just get him in ASAP, Yeltsin, usual business.
Full state banquet, Your Majesty?
No, 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 just the award ceremony. Banquets are always so long-winded.
You're showing your age, Papa. What happened to the dashing young man who danced till dawn and outdrank any man in the court?
He married your mother and developed a weak bladder.
Oh, go on, Paparovich. We haven't had a decent thrash since you crushed that horrible little peasant's revolt. Please?
Oh, all right, why not? Count Yeltsin?
Yes, Your Majesty.
Told you they'd give him a posthumous.
Sorry?
Your lieutenant, however. Oh, hold on. Don't they read anything we send them?
Why, what does this say?
They only want us to send this however chap up to supreme command. How the hell can you send a dead man to collect a medal? Stupid people.
Well, actually, he's not dead.
I thought you were going to write to them.
Well, I was going to, but he got a letter.
Who?
This lieutenant, however, from a girl. She'd never met him, obviously, but admired him from the report. So I, well, you know, sort of wrote back as him, as it were.
Oh. So this is your little girlfriend?
I'm afraid so. That's how we came to correspond. I never actually got round to killing him off.
I see. It all falls into place now. This poor unfortunate female has no idea that you're just a mere clerk in the propaganda office and a professional coward to boot.
Yes, all right. There's no need to rub it in.
Andrei Tarasbulba, you sly old fox. Well, it looks like the powers that be want to decorate you, old boy.
Not me. Lieutenant Heroic, however.
Oh, yes. You've got a bit of a problem, really, haven't you?
Why, what do you mean?
Well, HQ won't be very pleased if they find out you made this chap up. We know what Russian bureaucracies are like as well as I do.
So what do you suggest I do?
You could always go and collect it.
Me?
Well, who's to know?
Me?
And me. And that's about all.
You're suggesting that I impersonate a lieutenant? That's an up-against-the-wall job.
They won't know. I'll come with you if you like. We'll be there a couple of hours at the most. It's 10 minutes in the office, having some stuffed shirt of a civil servant pin the medal on. Then comes the bonus.
Yeah, you can watch me being shot.
Wrong. Then you take your little medal and your little lieutenant's uniform, and you pop around to your little bit of stuff and claim your just reward.
What do you mean?
Exactly.
I would like to say that the thought of consummating my relationship with my dear Florence under false pretenses filled me with moral outrage. But if I did, I would of course be lying. In truth, the thought of such an assignation raised in me such yearning that I became totally consumed with the deception. Eventually, the time arrived. I purloined a lieutenant's uniform from a couple of dead bodies at the local morgue, and within a few days, Peter and I were in St. Petersburg.
My dear lieutenant, however.
What? Oh,
how absolutely splendid to see you.
Oh, for goodness sake, Peter, keep it down.
What do you mean, keep it down? You are lieutenant, however, aren't you?
Yes, but we don't have to announce it to the whole world, do we? I wish you'd never talked me into this. Let's just get the blasted medal and get out of here.
As you please. But for God's sake, man, stand up straight and act like an officer.
I can't.
I thought I told you to practice.
You need much longer than I had, like a lifetime in minor aristocracy.
Just think arrogant and talk loudly. And if that doesn't help, just think about waving your medal in front of your little girlie and all the possible connotations thereafter.
What? Right. Over here.
But you'll be fine once you get into the room.
Oh, my God, I know this man. That's Sergeant Andropov from the recruitment office. He gave me the job in propaganda. He's bound to remember me.
Not necessarily. Don't panic. He's just an adjutant, remember? Civility's been instilled into him since he was knee-high to a grasshopper. He won't see past the uniform.
Lieutenant, however.
Yes?
Good afternoon, sir. I hope you won't think it too forward of me if I tender my humble congratulations.
No.
It is a great honour for me to meet a man of your distinction and courage.
Well, thank you, Sergeant.
Thank you, sir. If you'd care to walk this way, sir.
See what I mean? He probably just doesn't recognise me.
He only sees the uniform, my friend. You're a lieutenant. Enjoy it while you can. I'll be back to a sergeant next Monday.
Well, just a minute. Where are we going? Excuse me, I thought the Hall of Ceremonies was back there, Sergeant.
It is, sir. I'm leading you to your carriage, sir.
Carriage? I haven't got a carriage.
It's not your carriage, sir. It's the one ordered to take you to the Imperial Palace.
What for?
Well, the award ceremony, sir. You're getting the Grand Hero of the Russian Empire, sir. Didn't they tell you?
No, they didn't.
Oh, no, sir. Well, you've got it all right, sir. His Majesty's presenting it to you himself.
The Tsar?
Oh, yes, sir. It's a great honour. There we are, sir. Allow me to open the door for you, sir.
I blame you for this, Peter Petrovich.
I didn't know they get the top man in for the job.
Sir, you have to get in, sir.
Yes, well, thank you.
I don't wish to hurry you, sir, but they do like things to run to a very tight schedule at the palace.
Oh, right, thanks. What's that? Well, dear Sergeant, there seems to be a guard of cavalry in the way. We'll probably be too late now. Perhaps they could just post on to
me. Your escort, Lieutenant. The Royal Mounted Household Guard.
You mean they get the full military escort?
Oh, they do like to do things in style at the palace, sir. You wait till you see the ball, the orchestra, and all the ladies in their finery.
Hold me, Peter. I feel faint.
For heaven's sake, man, stop doing that. Pull yourself together. You're drawing attention to yourself.
Oh, it's me, is it? Nothing to do with a gold-plated royal coach and four and a 50-horse escort. Not to mention a state ball in my honour. They'll be giving me a 21-gun salute next. What the hell was that?
That's the start of your 21-gun salute, sir.
Oh, no, we're going to be shot, Peter. I know we are.
Stop it. Sit still, Andre.
I can't. I want to go to the toilet.
I just can't understand it. Why all this? Well, they did this for everyone, that's for sure. Look, you have told me everything, haven't you? I mean, you didn't pretend to be a foreign prince or anything, did you?
Do I look that stupid?
Well, you must have something very special to merit this little jamboree. What the hell did you say this Lieutenant However's been up to? Conquering Japan?
Just what I told you. A normal sort of career.
Are you sure?
I was very careful, actually. It was just general heroism, good schooling, you know, the sort of thing. Nothing special. I only did it to impress little Florence, and that didn't take much.
Florence?
Yeah.
She didn't say she was a nurse by any chance.
Yeah. Oh, how did you know that?
Peter, are you all right?
No, I'm not all right, you incredible dimwit.
Hey, steady on. Everyone knows everyone since she was this high.
What are you talking about?
The Princess Royal is whom I'm talking about. Since she was a little girl, Princess Elizabeth has played at being a nurse. She calls herself Florence. Understand? Florence. But really, she's the Princess Royal. Any clearer, yes?
Whoops.
Yes, whoops! You've only been mailing your little love letters to the heir to the throne of all Russia!
Oh my God, no, we really are going to be shot!
Right, now where was I? So there'll be a fanfare, then the doors open to the Imperial Hall, then you follow me into the room. Stop, and bow. Slow march and pace to the centre of the room. Bow again, stand to attention.
Oh, so it's all very informal then?
Oh, a comedian that taught me you're a soldier.
I'm sorry, the lieutenant is nervous.
Does he usually dribble and shake like this when he's nervous? I thought all you defenders of the realm were meant to be big and butch.
Andre, control yourself, for heaven's sake. Everyone's looking.
We're going to be shot. Shot, do you hear?
No, we're not. Just play the part, take the medal, and keep quiet.
Oh, hey up, showtime. Curtains up, girls! Yeah, I'm not expecting a ginsy boy, but let's try and keep it fluid, shall we? Think, chorus like, right, follow me.
Forward, two, three, enter, or stop. Bow, and forward. Lovely, slow march. Come on, Lieutenant. Lieutenant, don't do this to me.
Andre, come on. I can't move. My legs have seized up.
Lieutenant Father, the bravest man in all Russia.
And the slowest, by the looks of it. What's he up to, Yeltsin?
He appears to have stopped midway, Your Majesty.
Pat, he's tired. An awful long ride from Russia, Manchuria.
Not as long as this wait if he doesn't get a move on. Yeltsin, just read the citation and get on with it.
Yes, Your Majesty.
L'Empereur, le Tsar Nikolai II, Tsar the Tutu.
Oh, marvellous. Well, thank you very much. All the else has started. Now we'll just have to stay here now. Shut up.
Oh, Charmin, I'm sure.
What is it, Peter?
He's speaking in French.
Well, of course he's speaking in French, you ignorant peasant.
I am not a peasant.
All official engagements are conducted in French. Every fool knows that.
What's going on about, Peter?
I must say to that. I should have remembered the official court language is French.
What do you mean?
The in French? Yes. I completely forgot.
You tell. Why the hell is it in French? We're in the middle of bloody Russia.
I don't know. It's a tradition.
I am too deaf or what?
Well, it's a silly one. Especially as I don't speak a word.
What?
I'm a Cossack, Peter, from the back of beyond. It's a miracle I speak at all. Most of my people can barely manage a grumble.
You two, please stop mumbling. I'm beginning to notice.
Oh, I knew I should have stayed in bed this morning.
What in tarnation are they talking about?
I don't know, but I'm sure it must be very important.
Humbug.
Yeltsin. Yes, your man. Cut the didactic. They're not listening anyway. Get him up here and let me pin the blasted thing on him.
Approchez-vous du podium pour recevoir le prix.
But no. He says to approach the podium and receive your award.
Right, you two, come on, and will you keep up this time?
Will he speak in French when I get up there?
Probably.
What am I going to do?
I don't know.
I know one thing I am going to do if I get out of here alive.
What?
Kill you.
Don't worry, I think they may save the trouble.
Will you two, for goodness sake, stop mumbling? There are a couple of schoolgirls up here.
Peter, think of something.
Votre Majesty, Lieutenant Stefan Savenovich, however, is on écuyer Sergeant Peter Dmitry Petrovich.
Lieutenant, however. Salam a fait un grand honneur de vous présenter votre médaille et de déclarer que à partir de ce jour vous êtes proclamé comme lieutenant, however, grand héros de l'Empire russe. Avancez, s'il vous plaît.
Step forward. I will not speak French.
What?
I beg your pardon.
I will not speak French.
Here comes the firing squad.
How dare you?
Think, Peter, think.
I knew we were trouble the moment he walked in, sir. I'd just like to say I never liked the look of him in the first place.
Shut up, Kosygin.
Certainly, sir.
Je vous exhorte à bien réfléchir à votre place et position, lieutenant, however.
I cannot speak French, Your Majesty.
Cannot?
Will not.
Will not?
Yes, will not.
Will not.
Why not?
Why not?
I don't know. I'm thinking.
I will not speak French, Your Majesty, because...
Because you are nothing but an impudent young devil.
Quiet, Yeltsin. Lieutenant, however. We don't usually give a condemned man the right of reply, but please, do amuse us as to the reasons for this unprecedented outburst.
Well... French is the language of our oldest enemy for a start.
But we're at war with Japan. We haven't fought the French for years.
Yes, good point. But, we don't like the frogs, do we? And they were our enemy for years and years. And, if you must know...
Perhaps if I might be given permission to speak, Your Majesty.
Who the hell are you?
The Lieutenant's Aquarian friend, Your Majesty. I would be greatly honored if I could speak for my misguided friend.
Oh, why not? I mean, it's not an award ceremony at all, is it? It's a belly debating chamber.
Shall I have them shot, Your Majesty?
Later. In the meantime, I'm just dying to hear what excuses the flunky's going to make for the Mad Master. Pray proceed, young man.
Your kindness knows no bounds, Your Majesty.
Don't interrupt.
Don't worry.
Here goes. My beloved Emperor, I have known Lieutenant, however, throughout most of his distinguished career. He's too modest to speak here of his never-ending deeds of raw guts and mettle. Nor would he trouble you with the sad and tragic history of his family, or the near fatal accident that befell him, leaving him suddenly and quite extraordinarily unable to remember a word of our beloved French tongue. Breathe confidently, look around, still alive, carry on. Many of you will never have heard, hopefully, of the tiny village of Sakharov. Good. But this tiny, idyllic Russian village was where the French scum in 18... massacred a whole village of innocent Russian women and children. Amongst those slain were Sir Vladimir Gromyko, however, his wife and 7 children, grandparents, uncles and aunties, nephews and nieces, in fact, all of Lieutenant However's noble family. Enough reason alone, you might say, for this man to hate the French. But many years later, in defending his own village, leading his own estate workers against another band of invading garlic breath, Lieutenant, however, was felled by a blow to the head. Was it any wonder that when he awoke from this coma of several weeks, that this fine young man, the prime of Russian manhood, could no longer speak our official language? I beg to plead his case.
Bravo!
Peter, how did you think that up?
I told you, I'm a natural journalist. Fiction comes easy to me.
Well spoken, young Petrovich. We had no idea of this tragedy, did we, Yeltsin?
No, Your Majesty, we did not.
It appears your cause has won many friends in court, Lieutenant, however.
Yes, Your Majesty, I am most fortunate.
You have clearly suffered much in your life. We are nothing if not compassionate to those less fortunate than ourselves. I hereby declare that from now on, in the presence of Lieutenant, however, all members of the royal household will speak only Russian. Where's the medal?
Speeches, Lieutenant, however. Hurrah! 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 Hurrah!
And so it was that Peter's fine imagination saved our necks for the first time. Naturally, we proposed to push our luck no further, and with everyone safely speaking Russian in my presence, Peter left to find our horses and make good our escape. However, a certain princess had other ideas.
This way, my lady. Lieutenant, however.
Thank you, Lady Karenina. Lieutenant, however, how kind of you to spare me some of your precious time.
Not at all, Your Royal Highness.
Have you been offered some refreshment?
Yes, thank you. I have a glass here.
But your glass is almost empty, Lieutenant.
No. I've got plenty to be going on.
Allow me. Royal flowers thrive on vodka. But your glass appears to be empty, Lieutenant.
So it is.
Lady Karenina, Lieutenant, however,'s glass seems to be empty. I wonder, could I trouble you to fetch him another?
Certainly, my lady.
There's a drink tent on the east balcony, I think you'll find.
The east balcony. Oh, yes, my lady. The east balcony.
Please excuse my strange behavior, Lieutenant, however. I'm afraid palace protocol does not allow me to be alone with a member of the opposite sex.
Well, I understand, Florence.
But I'm afraid I simply had to see you alone, because I have something to tell you, my dear Lieutenant, that may come as a great... What did you say?
I said, I understand, Florence.
You know?
I'm afraid so. I have known for some time.
Oh, of course. I should have known a man with 3 years in the intelligence service would see through my thinly veiled deception.
Intelligence service?
Your 13th letter. You went on an undercover operation in Estonia to rescue Countess Valerium of Babichua.
Oh, yes. Well, that one. Yes.
Tell me, Lieutenant, did it please you to discover you were corresponding with the royal princess?
It would be no exaggeration to say I was overwhelmed, Your Highness.
It seems strange to be talking to you in person after so long.
Yes, I hope not too much of a disappointment to you.
No, not at all. And what of me? Does the Princess Royal meet with the Lieutenant's approval?
Oh, my lady, I had heard much of your radiant beauty, but I fear there are not enough words in existence that could adequately capture the embodiment of perfection I see before me.
Oh, my sweet Lieutenant. Oh, you are no less articulate in person than you were in pen. You are too kind.
I beg to differ. Kindness might suggest an act of charity, whereas I, my lady, am merely being honest. You are truly beautiful beyond words.
You are well versed in the language of love, Lieutenant. I fear it is an art well practiced on members of the fairer sex.
You would be mistaken, my lady. My words are for you alone. They spring from a fresh awakening inside me.
Lieutenant.
Call me André. I'm Stefan.
Stefan, the things you wrote in your letters.
I meant every word.
Oh, my heart fills with joy to hear you say this. I too meant everything I said. My only regret is that I was unable to summon the courage to tell you the truth about myself.
Believe me, I know exactly how you feel.
Kiss me. Make love to me.
Here.
Here, now, passionately, physically. frequently. Oh, yes, Mr. Ivan Stepanovich. I have dreamt of this meeting for so long. And in my dreams, we did not talk so much.
What are some... I mean, you're the princess. I can still remember the first touch of her lips and the passion, the tight stomach-churning passion beating in our young bodies. For a few glorious seconds, we were just two people in love. That is until Peter and Lady Karenina barged in and reminded us of exactly who we were.
Beautiful little nurse.
Yes, Miss Stefan, I'm yours.
I
think I just have, my lady.
Peter!
What in the name of all Russ would you think you're doing?
Saving the lieutenant's life, your Royal Highness.
Have you never heard of knocking? I've had people shot for less than this.
What does that matter? We'll be shot anyway if this little tryst is discovered.
And why should it be discovered, Sergeant?
My absence was noted, my lady. Count Yeltsin is approaching.
Well, that's a good enough reason. Perhaps you should shift along a little further, Your Highness.
Well, quickly then. Lady Karenina, deal these cards. Sergeant, sit beside the lieutenant.
Andre, wipe that lipstick off.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
Well, everyone look courtly. Enter. Yes, Count. What is it?
Excuse the interruption, Your Royal Highness. Oh. Your father was inquiring after your well-being.
Well, tell my father that my well-being is perfectly intact, and that Lieutenant However and I will join him shortly for drinks on the Chernobyl Terrace.
The Lieutenant?
Yes, Count. And on your travels, perhaps you could locate a set of rooms for Lieutenant However and his adjutant.
Rooms, Your Royal Highness?
Yes, Count. Do you have to repeat everything I say? Rooms for them to sleep in. Lieutenant However has graciously accepted my offer to stay on for a few days.
Yes, Your Highness, if you insist.
You've done what?
Well, I could hardly refuse, could I?
Yes, you've... Your Royal Highness, I fear that overcome with the honor of your kind invitation, Lieutenant However has forgotten our new orders. Unfortunately...
You are staying here, Sergeant. Or would you rather argue it out with the firing squad?
No, a stay sounds positively charming, Your Royal Highness. I'll cancel our horses.
Sir.
Sorry?
I'll cancel our horses, sir.
Yes, sir.
Sorry about that, everyone.
Really, however, one would have thought a man of your stature would merit greater respect from their subalterns.
Yeah, why, it's the war, Count Yeltsin. One simply cannot get the staff. Not that I'd change him, of course. We go back a long way, the sergeant and I.
You see, Yeltsin, the ravages of war can never destroy the loyalty inspired by a true gentleman. And I'm sure in his own way, Sergeant Petrovich has nothing but the greatest of respect for Lieutenant, however. Am I not correct, Lieutenant?
Oh, undoubtedly, Your Royal Highness.
Hey, that hurt! I thought you were a man of peace. With you, I'll make an exception. Are you completely off your trolley, or did you just take your brains out while you were in there with her? I tell you, Andre, we're on borrowed time. Borrowed time, do you hear?
Enjoy, Peter. I mean, just look at this room and my bed. These are satin sheets, Peter. Bit better than the bunks in Manchuria, don't you think?
Only for you. They've given me a cubbyhole next door.
Yeah, well, you are only a sergeant, Peter. And just you remember that in future. That Count Yeltsin chap noticed the way you talked to me earlier, so you'd better show a bit of respect at dinner tonight.
Dinner?
Well, that's, of course, if I let you come.
You'd better pray that I'm prepared to come.
Why?
Because dinner in the royal household is not just a meal, Andre. It's an event. 18 courses and a potential minefield of social gaffes. And I hope for your sake they carry on speaking Russian, or you'll be just like the chicken course.
What do you mean?
Stuffed.
Well, all right then. As you've asked so nicely, you can come.
Hello,
then. A stable, Miss Emmy. What? Set. What's all this cutlery for?
Never mind that now. Just say we to everything they offer and copy me.
L'escargot, monsieur.
We? What the hell is this?
Snails.
They eat snails?
Yes. It's a delicacy.
Oh, my God. It's still in its shell.
Is anything wrong, Lieutenant?
No, thank you. Snails. Yum, yum. Lovely.
If the escargots are not your taste, Lieutenant, please feel free to start on the gourmet.
Man, that would be nice, thanks. Anything's better than snails. Then what?
The gourmet, frog's eggs.
Would you excuse me for a moment? I have to go to the bathroom.
Lieutenant, however, are you well now?
Ah, yes, thank you, Your Highness.
You were most concerned, Lieutenant. You seem to have missed most of the meal one way or another.
I fear after all these years on army rations, the rich food has taken its toll on our digestive systems, Your Majesty.
Yes. Oh, unfortunate.
I've taken the liberty of having some caviar put aside for you, Lieutenant.
Thanks awfully.
You missed the sheep's eyeballs, however. Good year for them as well.
Oh, what a shame.
Well, gentlemen, I think we should retire to the other room.
Oh, but Papa, well, that means you'll get Lieutenant, however, all to yourselves. And we ladies are so keen to spend some more time with him. Are we not, Lady Karenina?
Indeed, my lady.
Later, my dear. Later. Gentlemen, the port awaits.
Lady Karenina.
Yes, Your Royal Highness.
A moment of your time, if you please.
Certainly, my lady.
We'll see who gets Lieutenant, however, to themselves.
I hear, Lieutenant, you've been enthralling the princess and ladies of the court with tales of your adventures.
Well, a little light relief before dinner, that's all.
Not at all. You're too modest, sir. I would be very interested, for instance, to hear the part you played in the famous siege of Perestroika.
Yes.
You must have been very young, Lieutenant.
Why, was. Well, once.
No, I mean, you can't be more than what, 30 now? That would make you a mere boy at Perestroika.
Well, I was, as you suggest, a mere child, sir.
And yet you say they made you a sergeant?
Did they? Well, yes, I suppose they did.
A boy at heart, Count. The lieutenant is blessed with youthful looks. I fear I'd be most embarrassed were we to ask him his real age.
Ha! Huh, women and cavalry officers, eh? Vanity, vanity is thy name.
I also heard tell that you attended the Nijinsky Institute. Were you in Kalashnikov's yard?
Kalashnikov?
But surely Kalashnikov was trained at the Moscow Academy.
Yes. So he was. Yeah, I must have been thinking of someone else. Perhaps the lieutenant could help me. What year were you in?
Oh, dear, my glass. I do beg your pardon, everyone.
Don't trouble yourself, Sergeant. Well, quickly, Gorbachev, don't just stand there, boy. Get the sergeant another glass.
Yes, sir.
A stupid boy, hitting the clouds that one. Do you know I caught him writing poetry about world peace and love last week?
Never.
Enter! Yes, Cassidian, what is it?
Excuse me, Your Majesty. I believe the Count has asked the same.
Indeed, I have. Would you excuse me, Your Majesty?
Certainly.
Outside, Cassidian.
Oh, sir.
A tireless man, gentlemen. An example to us all. Never stops working.
Yes, I noticed.
I've never had a member of my star chamber like Count Yeltsin. A better nose for wheedling out insurgents I've yet to find. Only last week we had to dispose of a few undesirables in the kitchen.
Dispose?
Oh, yes. You can't mess around with these people, however. Hung, drawn, quartered in the square, and damn lucky they got off that lightly. More port, gentlemen.
No, thank you, Your Majesty.
Well, Cassidian, did you find out anything?
There's nothing about him in our records, my lord. A couple of official reports from the press office in Manchuria, but nothing else.
What do they say?
Oh, they confirm most of the story he's been telling. It's possible they have his official files out there, though God knows why.
It's also possible he hasn't got any records.
Mm.
I know he's a freak. I can feel it in my water. The Nijinsky Institute.
All records burnt in the fire of 99.
Exactly. The great siege of Perestroika.
All records burnt in an effort to keep themselves warm. Oh, I see your point, sir.
Seems a little too coincidental for my liking.
Oh, hold up a sec. Perestroika, I say, sir.
Yes, why? Do you know something?
No, but I know a man who does. There's an old-timer drinks in my local. He reckons he was a corporal at Perestroika. He's got a medal and everything.
Really? Get him in, because he's in it fast. I'd like him to meet our so-called lieutenant, however.
Oh, they're a bally nuisance, common people.
Do you have much trouble with the peasants, then, sir?
Oh, we did. Yeltsin's predecessor, Dubček, Slavic fool, left him a terrible mess to sort out.
Really? I heard Dubček was a progressive.
Regressive, more like. He only went and promised the peasants a few democratic rights. Causes endless problems, he has. Fortunately, Yeltsin's taking a firm stance.
Why?
My dear lieutenant, you cannot go giving your average Joe Stalin rights. He won't know what to do with them. You take my word for it. You give Uncle Joe rights, And you'd only waste years finding out that the only way to run an empire is with a strong emperor. And in the intervening years, what have you got?
Revolution.
Exactly. Chaos. I had a chap in last week. What was his name? Valencia. Valentino.
Valencia.
No, I've got him. Knapsack Hovel. Or was that where Valencia lived? Anyway, he was one of these self-appointed representatives of the people. Came here to remind me that Dubček had promised them the right to vote, would you believe? What he didn't seem to understand is that democracy costs money. Well, I told him, I'm damned if the money's coming out of the imperial household's pocket. Now, if the rabble want to vote, they'll have to pay for it themselves.
Oh, I see. A sort of tax on the right to vote.
That's about the size of it. I'm calling it the vote tax. If they pay, they can come and put their notch against whatever candidate they want.
Notch?
Yes. Another concession left over from Dubček's days. Apparently half your plebs can't read or write, so there's no point in asking them to put a cross by a name. Dubček came up with the idea that each candidate should have a coloured pole stuck in the ground. Peasant comes along, clocks the colour of his chap's pole, cuts a notch into it.
Oh, I see. Very clever.
Of course, it's all academic, because I'm not planning on too many of them actually being able to afford to vote.
I don't suppose there's many peasants who'll know what a vote is, anyway.
Oh, I know that. Dubček wanted to write to them all and explain, but as he couldn't read in the first place, he soon scrapped that idea, thank goodness.
Well, perhaps you should give it another name, Your Majesty.
What for?
Well, to make it clearer. If it's a tax to put a notch on a pole, perhaps you should call it the notch tax.
You're not following, Petrovich. I don't want them to understand. I don't want them to vote in the first place. Personally, I'd abolish the proletariat completely, but we need somebody to fight the wars. That's another nightmare. This vote tax won't raise a penny towards the war effort, so I've got to sort out another tax to pay for that. Oh, the affairs of state, gentlemen. More port! Gorbachev, the sergeant's glass is empty.
Oh, no thanks. Has Your Majesty... Oh, perhaps not.
No, speak your mind, Petrovich. I'm always interested to hear the ideas of the young.
Well, I was just wondering about the possibility of treating with the enemy, Your Majesty. I'm sure we can negotiate a return to our old borders.
Yes, I've heard they're keen to talk.
We wouldn't need money to fight a war then, sir.
That's true, but I ask you to ask yourself a question, young Petrovich. Do we really want a million or so young hotheads back here working? If they work, they might get enough money to pay the vote tax, and then you've got yourself a proper little Pandora's box. And you see, this is where you young officers are so important to us. Your job is to keep those peasants occupied at the front, out of harm's way.
I never realized, Your Majesty.
No, probably not, Petrovich. Affairs of state are not the easiest thing to understand. Now, come on, chaps, I insist. More port, Gorbachev. Where is the boy?
Looking back now, I believe that evening had a profound effect on my friend Peter Dmitri. For me, too, it was a night to remember, but on a slightly less cerebral plane. For later that night, I was ushered hastily into the ladies' powder room by Dowager Lady Karinina, who led me by some rather dubious-looking back passages to the Princess Elisaveta's room. Here, we let our passion for each other take its natural course. For a few glorious hours, the outside world was forgotten. Little did I realize, however, that Lieutenant, however, was far from forgotten.
This is the man, Count Yelkin.
Stand up, you drunken sop, and tell me your name.
Brezhnev, sir. Leonid Shurin, late of the 23rd Slavonic Guard. Corporal I was, sir.
And veteran of the siege of Perestroika, I hear.
Oh, I was indeed, sir. And proud of it. Like most people, buy me a drink when I tell them that.
Yes, I can see they do, Corporal. Tell me, Corporal Brezhnev, would you recall a face from that infamous siege?
Oh, yes, sir. We was like brothers when we got out of that hellhole, sir. If the face was there, I'll remember it. See, it's engraved up here.
Good. Kazigin, furnish our friend here with a night steward's livery. Mm. I think our friend, however, is in need of some hot chocolate.
Yeah, and I'm in need of some hot vodka.
Wait. Who's there? Come out now, or I'll shoot.
Why so dramatic, Count Yeltsin?
Lady Karenina, what were you doing in there?
Count Yeltsin, please.
State your business or suffer the consequences.
That is the ladies' powder room, sir.
What? Oh, right.
Kazigan, Brezhnev, my office now. And I suggest you return to your lady's chamber, ma'am.
So, Lieutenant, however,'s an imposter, is he?
Petrovich, wake up!
Not now, Andrei.
Andrei? Who's Andrei?
What? Lady Karenina. What are you doing in here? Where's Sergeant... I mean, Andrei. No, I don't. I mean, where's Lieutenant However?
He lies in my lady's arms, sir.
What? You mean...
No, shh. No names. No back drill. Listen, we've only got a little time. Count Yeltsin is sending a night steward in to see Lieutenant However.
Yeltsin?
Yes. Apparently, the old count believes Lieutenant However to be an imposter. He's sending a veteran of the Perestroika siege to make a positive identification. Or not, as the case may be.
Well, that's all right. He's not here.
Ah, but he should be. If the count finds out he's not here, then he'll order a search. And we all know what he might uncover if that happens. His suspicions are already aroused.
So, what do you propose we do?
Cover your head. I will pretend to be nursing you through a sudden fever. Mm. Together, we shall have to convince the old veteran that you are a lieutenant, however. Oh, too soon by far. Wrap this towel around your head. Act feverish. I'll mop your sweating brow.
Right.
Enter.
Sorry, ma'am. Are these Lieutenant However's chambers?
Oh, okay, they are. What can I do for you?
Lieutenant is ill with the fever. Is it urgent?
No, ma'am, no. I'm just trying to bring in this glass of chocolate.
Well, what are you doing, ma'am? Stay away from the bed. It may be contagious.
No, it won't affect me, ma'am. I'm immune to everything, me. Tough as old boots, I am.
Hold on. I know that voice.
Do you, sir? Do you? Well, it's Corporal Brezhnev from the Slavonic Guards, Perestroika. You remember me?
No. Oh. But I remember Leonid Brezhnev, our old family retainer from the Glasnost estate.
Glasnost, yeah. It's Master Peter. What in the name of all the saints are you up to, young Master Petrovich, eh? Oh, look, they tell me you're calling yourself Lieutenant However, and you're claiming to be a hero of Perestroika.
That's not me, Brezhnev. It's my friend, Sergeant Bulba. A curse on my tongue.
Sergeant Bulba? So he really is an imposter?
Yes, but only through his own foolishness. Look, it's a long story.
We have all night.
Sit down and I'll tell you the whole disastrous chain of events, which started, believe it or not, upon a mere slip of the pen.
Before you start, Master Petrovich, you wouldn't happen to have a drop of the hard stuff around, would you? Got a terrible thirst on me.
I, of course, knew nothing of all this, but as I passed my night of passion, plots and counterplots were being laid for and against me. I was soon to be brought up to date, however. The next morning, we were all at breakfast when suddenly Count Yeltsin burst into the room.
What the f*** is this? Steady on, Yeltsin. You have the belly doors off the hinges.
I beg your forgiveness, Your Majesty, but I am so enraged. I can hardly control myself.
Oh, no. What now?
I haven't got time to explain. Just keep quiet and all will be well.
But...
Your Majesty, we have been seriously misled.
In what way?
By this imposter, sir.
Lieutenant However, what are you talking about?
In a time when many millions of our brave men are at war, valiantly defending the realm and empire, I find it inexcusable that one man, probably a cowardly deserter, can dare to come to this great palace and claim another's honor.
Are you speaking of Lieutenant However?
If that is indeed his name, Your Majesty.
Do we keep quiet right up until the moment the shooters are, or will we make a run for it?
Shut up. All will be well, my friend.
With your kind permission, Your Majesty, I approve that this man is not the hero he has led us to believe.
Oh, Count Yeltsin, am I to understand that you are accusing Lieutenant However of lying?
Most certainly, Lady Karenina.
I hope you can substantiate this ludicrous claim, Yeltsin.
Certainly. Kazigan, bring in the veteran Brezhnev.
And this way, Corporal.
Your Majesty, this is Corporal Leonid Sarin Brezhnev, a decorated veteran of Perestroika. So few of our brave soldiers survived that unfortunate episode that Brezhnev is able to identify any of those who lived to tell the tale.
Is this true, Brezhnev?
Yeah, it is, sir. The face is engraved in my memory for life. even that was all them years ago.
Very well. Tell me, Corporal Brezhnev, do you recognize this man?
Look, everyone, I think it's all right. I can explain.
Well, yes, sir. Yeah, that's Sergeant However. He were at Perestroika.
What?
What?
I knew it. It's going to be another one of those days. I'd like to take this opportunity of resigning as Count Yelton's usher.
Be quiet, Cadigan.
Certainly, sir.
Let me shake you by the hand, sir. You know, it's an honour to see you again. And a lieutenant now, I believe, sir. Well, I can hardly say I'm surprised. He were the bravest man a Perestroika was young, however, and no doubt.
What the hell are you talking about? Last night you said you didn't recognise him.
Oh, no, sir. Begging your pardon, sir. You asked me if I recognised the man in Lieutenant However's chambers. I told you I didn't, and that, sir, was the truth. This sergeant here was in the room when I went in, and he wanted Perestroika.
Nor have I ever claimed to be.
And where, then, was Lieutenant However all this time?
At his toilet, sir. As you will remember, the richness of the evening meal didn't go well with the lieutenant.
Bravest man in all Russia, if you ask me, and I'll fight any man who says otherwise. Your Majesty, I'm going to drop a brandy down.
Yes, thank you, Corporal. I think you could leave us now.
Well, please yourself.
Well, Yeltsin, what have you to say?
Your Majesty, I am lost for words. A simple mistake. I beg the lieutenant's forgiveness.
You're lucky you're such an old man, Yeltsin. Otherwise, I dare say Lieutenant However would be demanding satisfaction from you.
No, I don't think that would be necessary.
I'm afraid I shall have to review your position within my star chamber, Yeltsin.
As you wish, Your Majesty.
Until such time as I've done so, you will remove yourself from St. Petersburg.
But, Your Majesty, I must protest. Leave the palace.
Unless, of course, you would prefer to duel.
Given the choice, yes, most certainly.
Don't be silly, Yeltsin. You don't want to duel at your age. It's dangerous.
I'm not afraid of you, Lieutenant However. If that is indeed who you are.
You insult our guests in this house too much, sir. Lieutenant However demands satisfaction.
Do I?
Of course you do. Papa.
There is no other honourable course. Pistols at dawn tomorrow, gentlemen.
How are you?
Very well for a man that's about to die painfully.
You don't know that. Think positive.
I am thinking positive. I'm hoping I don't feel any pain when the bullet goes straight through my heart, as it undoubtedly will do.
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily. I looked up Yeltsin's record last night, Petrovich. 9 duels, 9 wins, 9 fatalities. He gives a whole new meaning to the words dead cert.
Well, perhaps old age has given him the shakes.
I'm the one with the shakes, Peter. I was right about one thing.
What?
I am going to be shot.
Stefan!
Alistair Vetter! What are you doing in that servant's dress?
Royal princesses are not allowed to witness duels. I came to give you my handkerchief.
Oh, thank you.
Don't blow your nose, you fool. It's a token of our... Oh, never mind. Look, here he comes.
Look how arrogantly he walks. Show him no mercy, Stefan. He is insulted at all. Right between the eyes, my love.
Oh, yeah, but whose eyes?
I, Alexei Kosygin, act as second for the Honourable Count Boris Matvey Semyonich Yeltsin.
Oh, shut up.
I, Lieutenant Peter Dmitry Petrovich from Malov III, act as second for Lieutenant Stefan Stefanovich, however.
Look, Count, you still have time to reconsider and withdraw, you know.
I would rather die, my friend. I know an imposter when I see.
What's he doing now?
I don't know. He's fallen to the ground.
Oh, I can see that.
Oh,
my God. I do believe he's having a heart attack.
The Count's fortuitous death not only saved my life, but by croaking it on that particular moment, he actually made me look more beneficent than before. My final impassioned plea for him to call the duel off, born out of a long devotion to cowardice, was interpreted, when he died, as the humanitarian gesture of a gentleman almost certain to win should the duel have continued. From thenceforward, I was received into the palace without question. By day by the Tsar, as a part-time replacement for the disgraced Count, and by night into the loving arms of my beautiful Elisaveta. It was an idyllic existence, but as my friend Peter Dmitri had often pointed out, we were never on anything more than borrowed time, and it was less than 2 weeks before time called in the loan.
Oh, Stefan, I do so enjoy our afternoon strolls together.
Yeah, me too. I just wish Lady Kay, Sergeant Petrovich, and half your personal guard didn't have to accompany us everywhere.
It is palace protocol, Stefan. Besides, you have me to yourself at night. What more can you ask?
Mum!
Ah, is that you?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, it's Trigorin.
Who? Over!
Trigorin, our commanding officer.
Stefan, I think someone's trying to call you.
I'll head him off, Andre. Just get rid of the princess.
He looks rather angry, my dear.
My old commanding officer, Your Highness. Perhaps Lady Karenina should take you inside.
Good idea, Lieutenant. This way, my lady.
Lady Karenina, kindly let go of my arm.
Captain Trigorin, how absolutely splendid to see you again.
Never mind all the pleasantries, Petrovich. Where the hell have you two been for the past 2 weeks?
What a vulgar man. Who does he think he's talking to?
Well, let Sergeant Petrovich handle it, my dear.
Certainly not. I can't let a man of your stature be harassed in this manner. I'll soon deal with him.
You two idiots realise I've had to stop General Gagarin's office reporting you as AWOL?
Sergeant Petrovich, I'd like to be introduced to this person.
Oh, women, is that it? I might have known. Listen, girls, if I was you, I'd run along. These two are in big trouble, believe me.
And you're not. Tell me, little man, would you normally address a grand hero of the Russian Empire like this?
That's what they told you, is it? And which one of you two macho men has been decorated since you left Manchuria?
Me? Actually, sir.
Oh, really? And who gave you that little honour?
My father, if you must know.
Indeed. And who's your father? The Tsar?
Yes, actually.
Oh, yes, and I'm the Queen of Sheba.
In which case, sir, the reports of your beauty have been grossly exaggerated.
Your Royal Highness, may I have the pleasure of introducing Honorary Captain Nikolai Trigorin? Captain, the Princess Elisaveta, Princess Royal, daughter and heir to the throne of all the Russias. And this is not a joke, sir.
Word in your ear, Sergeant. Are you serious, Petrovich?
Never more so, sir. In fact, I think if you'll get a glance up behind you, sir, you'll presently find about a dozen of Her Highness's personal escorts aiming their rifles at you.
Oh, my giddy aunt, I'm going to be shot! Your Royal Highness, I'm honoured to meet you. May I sincerely apologise for not recognising your Imperial Lightness? I had no idea my good friends, Sergeant Spulber and Petrovich, would be keeping such exalted company.
Who?
Well, I think the Lieutenant is referring to me, Your Royal Highness. Bulba's a sort of nickname I have back at the front.
Oh, Stefan. Bulba. How quaint. You never told me.
Well, you never asked.
I shall clearly have to question you quite severely in private.
I will look forward to it.
Right, let's start the interrogation now. I shall be in my chambers. Well, it's been delightful meeting you, Captain.
Trigorin, Your Highness. May I dare to hope we shall meet on another occasion in order that I might make a more favourable impression?
Well, Lieutenant, however, will be joining us later for tea in the Sputnik rooms. Perhaps you'd care to come along as well.
Oh, thank you, Your Royal Highness. Lieutenant, however... You know, I've heard so much about him since I arrived. I'd be honoured to meet him.
Meet him? You're standing in front of him. What's going on, sir?
Come on, Trigorin, stop messing about, you old rascal. Now shake hands with your old friend, Bulba, however, and let the princess get off for her afternoon nap. Please.
You, our lieutenant, however?
Of course he is. Oh, men and their silly games. Come, Lady Karenina, let's leave them to it. This whole incident has made me very tired. I shall be going for a nap. Alone.
Yes, Your Royal Highness. I hope you have a restful sleep, Your Royal Highness.
I hope not, Captain. Good day, gentlemen.
With 50 rifles still aimed at Captain Trigorin, the square was clearly not the place to ask questions. We quickly adjourned to a tavern beyond the palace boundaries and told him the whole story. He was not best pleased.
We're all going to be shot. Marvellous, thank you both very much. I did have a brilliant career ahead of me, but don't let that worry you.
They won't shoot you, sir.
You're right, they won't. I won't let them, it's not fair. The only way for me to save my neck is to go straight to the Tsar and make sure he knows I had nothing to do with this ludicrous subterfuge.
That would be a serious mistake, sir.
Are you threatening me, Petrovich?
Of course not, sir. But it seems to me there's only one certain way to stay alive, and that is to ensure that the Tsar and the Princess never learn the truth.
Well, I'm all for that. I think I can keep things up at my end. Talking of which, if you'll excuse me, gentlemen, I think
I have an appointment with an afternoon nap.
Sit down, Casanova.
Much as it pains me to agree with you, Petrovich, I too am sure that the Tsar would not be pleased the discovery has been deceived on such a grand scale. So, under the circumstances, I will make this agreement with you two witless idiots. I will attend afternoon tea and pretend that I do know, Lieutenant, however. I will submit myself to this indignity, perjure myself in front of the Tsar of all Russia, whilst you two return to Manchuria. Immediately upon your return, you will send word of Lieutenant However's sudden and hopefully painful death to me. I will do the rest.
Death?
Yes, Bulba. Death, as he never comes back to embarrass any of us again. Do I make myself perfectly clear, gentlemen?
Yes, sir.
Bulba? Bulba?
Yes.
Damn you, yes.
The ride back to the Manchurian front was slow, long and hard. Upon our return, Peter Petrovich wrote immediately to St. Petersburg with the news of Lieutenant However's glorious death. My only thought was for my dear Elisaveta and how inconsolable she would be. We neither of us thought for one moment that the news would not have reached her, but this was indeed the case. As I later discovered, upon hearing of my departure, my distraught princess stole a troika sleigh from the palace troika park and set off in hot pursuit. The Tsar, naturally disturbed to hear of the princess's departure, blamed the luckless Trigorin for imparting the news. The captain was then ordered, upon pain of death, to follow and return the wayward princess to the royal fold.
Stop! I implore you!
Go away, you horrid man. It's all your fault. Walk on, you stupid animals.
Your Royal Highness, I beg you to return with me. Your father is most concerned for your safety.
Why did you force my Stefan to return to the front line, you monster? Why?
I didn't!
You did! I know it was you. Something you said. We were quite happy until you arrived. When I find him, I shall return to the palace and have him shot. Do you hear?
Your father has already passed sentence on me unless I can persuade you to return with me immediately.
I will do no such thing. Go back and get shot. And I hope it hurts. I shall find my Stefan and live happily ever after.
I doubt it, Your Highness. Lieutenant, however, is dead.
What? I don't believe you.
I assure you he is.
You're lying.
I don't know the exact details, Your Royal Highness, but I can assure you it's true.
No, he's not. I know you're lying. We nurses can sense these things, you know.
He's dead. Do you hear? Dead.
He is not. I'm a bloody princess, and if I say he's alive, he jolly well will
be. I'm not lying, you silly girl.
What did you call me?
I called you a silly girl, Your Royal Highness, which is quite frankly an insult to silly girls everywhere. Actually, you're a spoiled, stupid little brat.
You are a dead duck, Trigorin. Do you hear?
Yes, Your Royal Highness, I probably am. Perhaps you'd care to execute me here and now on the spot.
With pleasure. Give me your gun.
Oh, with pleasure. There you are. Well, go on.
Stand still, then.
I am standing still. If I stood any stiller, I'd be a statue.
Yes. Well, before I shoot you, Captain, you'd better show me how to work this thing.
Oh, you mean you don't know how to use a gun?
Of course I don't. I'm a princess, not an executioner.
Of course. You're so fond of putting people to death, but you never actually have to do the dirty deed yourself, do you?
No, that's one of the advantages of being a princess.
Look at you. You revel in the stories of blood and guts, death and honour, but here you are faced with the prospect of shooting one easy little captain and you can't do it.
You may mock, Captain. Alone, out here, I'm a helpless woman. But when I find my brave Stefan Stefanovich, he'll soon sort you out.
Oh, will he? All right, let's go and see, shall we?
You mean he is alive?
Yes, I suppose so, after a fashion.
What do you mean?
Come on, follow me and I'll show you what your grand hero of the Russian Empire really looks like. Good evening, gentlemen.
Captain Trigorin, what are you doing here?
Sir, this is a pleasant surprise.
Where is my Stefan, you lowlife?
Oh, perhaps not.
Elisaveta!
Aha! He lives! You will pay for your lies, Trigorin. Stefan, my darling, come to your nurse's arms.
Excuse me for a moment whilst I'm sick.
Elisaveta, I have something to tell you.
I knew you weren't dead. I knew it. Quickly, Stefan, take this gun.
Why?
Because this animal, this so-called gentleman, has been impertinent beyond endurance. I want you to shoot him.
What, Captain Trigorin?
You heard. Lieutenant, however. She wants me dead. Surely the bravest man in all Russia can do that.
What are you talking about, sir? This is madness.
Your compassion, my darling. Pump him full of lead. Go on.
I was a vet. I could no more shoot Captain Trigorin than I could my own father. He's my commanding officer.
Not to mention a friend.
I command it, damn you. Come on, Stefan. Kill him, please. Shoot. Bang, bang. Dead him. Come on, will you?
I can't.
Can't, Bulba. Come now. What are you, a man or a mouse?
Have we got any cheese?
Stefan?
What do you think of your cold-blooded killer now, little princess?
Stefan, what's come over you? And why are you dressed as a sergeant?
He's come back to reality, my dear. Out here, we're just three very ordinary, frightened little men, hiding away from a senseless war with meaningless deaths. We're professional cowards, you see.
You may be a coward. You may be a snivelling excuse for a man, but not my Stefan. He's no coward, are you, my brave little soldier?
Yes, actually, I am.
Not my Stefan, not my little however.
Exactly. I'm not your little however. Lieutenant, however, is dead, Elisaveta. Long live the coward. Show her the communique, Peter.
What's this? But it can't be. You're him. Stefan, what is this? It says here that you were killed 2 days ago.
Well, I wasn't. The lieutenant, however, was.
Then who the hell are you?
Sergeant Andrei Taras Bulba.
Sergeant?
Honorary sergeant, if you must know. I'm not even a proper sergeant.
But why? Why have you lied to me?
Believe me, my dear sweet princess, I never meant to mislead you. Well, not to this extent. You see, I never realized I was writing to a princess. I thought you were a nurse called Florence.
And you thought you were writing to Lieutenant However.
Exactly.
So you were both lying.
Don't call me a liar. I could have you shot for saying that.
So what are you going to do? Have us all sentenced to death? After all, we're all liars, all of us.
If I want, I can...
Oh, well, don't forget yourself, then. You've been living a lie all your life, pretending to be a nurse. Florence?
I don't know. You've got me all confused now. What I don't understand is, well, did the real Lieutenant However know you were impersonating
there
him?
There is no Lieutenant However. Don't you understand? He was born out of the slip of a pen. I made him up.
And I killed him.
And I ordered him to. Before the deception went any further. God knows it's gone far enough.
Please forgive me, Elisaveta. I made However up out of boredom. I never dreamt it would blossom into love.
You did love me then.
I still do. That's something Lieutenant However and I do have in common. Whether I'm Andre Bulba or Stefan However, I'm still in love with you and I always will be.
And I, unfortunately, with you, rogue.
Well, Elisaveta.
Oh, Stefan.
Oh, God.
You realize, of course, that this deception cannot simply end here.
Well, I realize now that you have every right to bring us to trial. I was rather hoping...
No, you misunderstand me, my love. When I say the matter cannot rest here, I refer to Lieutenant However's death. Well, he's a grand hero of the Russian Empire. If he's dead, his body must be sent to St. Petersburg for a state funeral. That's the law. And what's more, the coffin will be open and on display for public mourning. And as half the court knows who Lieutenant However is...
The corpse will have to be me.
Exactly.
Well, it's a better...
Oh, Stefan!
Oh, God!
I will not bore you here with all the details of our subsequent discussions. Needless to say, the problems we had to surmount were rather daunting. On the one hand, we needed to return However's body for public burial. On the other hand, I wasn't desperately keen to play the part of the corpse. An even greater problem to solve was that I, Andrei Taras Bulba, with my quite astounding resemblance to one Lieutenant However, wished to return and be close to my beloved Elisaveta. It was some several days later that Peter Dimitri strolled into our office carrying the answer in a large canvas bag.
There you are.
Peter, my friend. What's in the bag?
A headless corpse, if you must know.
Oh, disgusting.
I agree, but it might just be the answer to all our problems.
Within hours, we were packed and ready to return to the Winter Palace, armed only with Peter Petrovich's powers of oratory and a rather smelly dead body.
How are the whiskers, Andre?
Itchy, but I'll bear with them if they save our lives.
So what do you think, Lady Karenina? Do you think my father will believe our story?
Oh, I don't know, Your Royal Highness. It depends if he even gives you time to explain yourself.
Can we take it from that he's not in a good mood?
Hardly. He had the whole of the Princess's Guard executed when she ran off. He's been much embarrassed by the whole incident.
Oh, poor Papa.
But if there's a guard, we're too happy.
We're going to be shot. I know we are. It's all my fault.
Just stick to the story and we'll be fine. Either that or dead. It's difficult to say, really.
Shut up!
That means you, Shostakovich, by everybody out. Get all these flunkies out of here. Yes, you did hear correctly. Get out and then choose you, Lady Karenina.
Yes, Your Majesty. Good luck, Peter.
Thanks.
Out, 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 out. Right. You, young lady, are confined to your room for the rest of your life. And you two gentlemen have 5 minutes before your firing squad is mustered. I suggest you pray.
Father, you must listen to us. You have been sorely deceived.
Oh, I know, by a disobedient daughter who cares nothing for the reputation of this household, and by these two usurpers.
Please, Papa, I beg you. Give Sergeant Petrovich a chance to...
Sergeant! You can forget any rank. You'll be shot as peasants and buried in unmarked graves.
Father!
Your Majesty, it's I alone that's at fault here, and I beg your permission to plead my friend's case before I'm executed.
Fine sentiments for such a low life, Petrovich. Go on. Amaze me with your excuses this time.
Thank you, Your Majesty. Here we go again. It has been my honor for the past few weeks to be attached to Your Majesty's Office of Propaganda and Information in Russo-Manchuria. During the course of my work there, I heard much of the great deeds of Lieutenant However, and wrote to Your Majesty's press office here in St. Petersburg on the subject of this noble man. When I was ordered to find him, I rode out to the 3rd Cossacks base camp and met the man who claimed to be Lieutenant However.
Claimed to be? You mean you were deceived?
Indeed, Your Majesty. And this was the start of all my troubles. It appears that However is such a legend among his men that this impostor, whose real name was Lieutenant Ustinov, thought to share in the good Lieutenant However's glory. Being an officer in the 3rd Cossacks and knowing much of the real However's life, Ustinov found it easy to deceive all of us, only fleeing the palace when this gentleman beside me, the real Lieutenant However, made his presence known to him. This kind, sensitive gentleman beside me, not wishing to embarrass Your Majesty with the truth, then simply returned to the front, informing me only last week of what had really transpired.
But this is incredible. It appears, Lieutenant, that your name has been much misused and maligned.
I fear it is so, Your Majesty.
The likeness is amazing. Surely others in your command must have commented on the striking similarities between you and this Ustinov impostor.
Indeed, sir. But I had no idea that he would use this uncanny likeness to such treacherous advantage. At the time of Ustinov's trip to St. Petersburg, I was out in the Gobi Desert quelling an uprising of nomadic herdsmen on Your Majesty's behalf.
And in the meantime, this scoundrel Ustinov was living under our roof, you see, Papa.
You mean this one man hoodwinked the entire Russian court?
It's true, Papa. He fooled us all.
Well, I never. Tell me, Sergeant Petrovich, is he still alive, this Lieutenant Ustinov?
Oh, no, Your Majesty. No, he was summarily executed for desertion upon return to his unit. His head severed from his body and burnt, as is the custom for those who bring shame upon the Cossack army.
There you are, you see, just the Cossacks to go over the top. Bit of a shame, really. With a talent for deception like that, he'd have made a wonderful foreign secretary.
Indeed so, sir. Instead, he chose to use his talent to abuse our trust.
And beguile my only daughter.
Not so, Papa. I admit I was fascinated by him, but it wasn't love. I realize that now.
Yes, well, it's a shame the rest of court doesn't see it that way. You couldn't have thrown yourself at him harder if you'd used a catapult.
We have taken the liberty of bringing Ustinov's body to St. Petersburg, Your Majesty.
Well, I don't want to see it.
With respect, Your Majesty, we believe Ustinov's body might be of use to us in a further deception we hope you might sanction.
Which is?
Stage 2. It occurs to us, Your Majesty, that it would not be expedient for the scandal or scale of Ustinov's deception to be revealed to the whole court.
That, Sergeant, is an understatement. So what do you propose?
This is the clever bit, Papa. Sergeant Petrovich thinks we should let Ustinov take his dark secret to the grave.
You mean bury him as Lieutenant However?
Your Majesty is as perceptive as ever.
Ha ha.
The court would think their tragically decapitated hero was dead. And no word of his traitorous duplicity need ever go further than these four walls.
Yes, well, I can see the advantages of that. But what of this poor chap here? His name will be lost to him forever.
I have thought much about this subject, Your Majesty. And it is my belief that the greatest honor I could afford the Empire, besides my sacrificing my meager life, is to sacrifice my name.
You would do this for us.
And consider it a great honor, Your Majesty.
The real Lieutenant, however, is indeed a gentleman. But what would become of you, my dear fellow?
Oh, Lieutenant, however, has graciously agreed to change his name, sir.
We've already thought of one, Papa. Andre Taras Bulba.
Well, it's a bit ordinary. Does that suit you, Lieutenant, however?
If it so pleases your majesty.
Then that is what we will do. I accept your plan, Petrovich.
I am most grateful, your majesty. Peter, you're a genius.
I was thinking, Father, perhaps as a token of our sympathy for Lieutenant, however...
Bulba. Lieutenant Bulba, my dear.
Of course. As a token of our sympathy, perhaps we could reward Lieutenant Bulba with a small position in my new palace escort. After all, he is a very fine warrior.
Well, I suppose so. Provided he never shaves off that beard of his, I don't suppose anyone will notice.
Of course, your majesty.
Well, in that case, Lieutenant Bulba, you can start straight away.
Oh, thank you, Papa.
No unsavory suitors are going to get past the real lieutenant, however, are they?
Lieutenant Bulba, Papa.
Touché, my dearest, touché.
Oh, thank you, Papa. I'm sorry I was a naughty girl. And because you've been such a sweet little Paparovich, I hereby promise that I will never, ever again try to run away from my guard. From now on, Lieutenant Bulba and I will be inseparable.
Actually, that was the last time we saw Peter. But by no means the last we heard of him. He returned to Manchuria much disillusioned with the frivolities of court life. We later heard that he had deserted his post and joined an anti-imperialist rebel army. Today, as the sounds of insurrection echo through the streets of St. Petersburg, Peter Dmitri returns to the palace with the Popular People's Army, leading a victorious and, I fear, final rebellion that will put an end to my cozy existence within this cloistered, artificial world. As I write this true account of my amazing adventures, I await a visit from Comrade Petrovich, an old ally who has now turned jailor.
Stand, prisoner Bulba. Comrade Petrovich will see you now.
Thank you, Comrade Gorbachev. Be a good chap and wait outside, will you?
Certainly, Comrade Petrovich.
Andre, my old friend, how are you?
As well as can be expected. You look well, Peter.
Thank you. Peasant food suits me. I see from your waistline that the finer things in life have found a place in your heart.
And my belly. I'm afraid I found the soft living rather hard to resist.
Well, I can hardly say I blame you. Still, it's good to see you, my old friend. Even if it has to be in the midst of the people's rebellion.
Yes, we'd heard you were a prominent figure in the movement. The Star Chamber placed a very complimentary reward on your head.
Really? I'm flattered that the court still remembers me.
Oh, they do, with great trepidation.
And you?
Trepidation? No, more curiosity.
And how do you find me?
Charming as ever. Quite a surprise, given the brutal reputation you've acquired. I'm interested to know, what fate have you in store for Elisaveta? How is she, by the way? I haven't seen her for weeks.
Unfortunately, I'm unable to tell you, my friend. She's too grand a prize for me to handle. Though I'm fairly sure the royal family are no longer in the capital.
I had guessed as much. And what instructions have you been given with regard to me?
The path for minor officials seems to be a short trial,
followed by an even shorter execution.
You've retained your laconic essence of truth, my friend.
Thank you. Has a date been set for my trial?
Oh, yes. It was this morning.
I would. I don't remember being there.
You weren't?
Oh, that would explain it. When can I expect my appointment with the wall, then?
Tomorrow, at dawn. But I'm hoping it won't be necessary.
Is this some kind of sick joke, Peter?
Not at all. If the commander of your firing squad were to be approached, I'm sure something could be arranged. You see, he's a man who remembers you fondly, Andre. You once knew him as Captain Nikolai Trigorin. Well, we couldn't let our old Cossack chum go under just yet, could we? After all, if the truth be known, you're more of a peasant than we ever were.
So, have you a plan?
When did I not have a plan, Andre Terrace? Ah, it's quite like old times. Here we go again. Right, tomorrow morning will be brought breakfast just before dawn. Concealed beneath your food will be a hard metal plate. Just place it beneath your tunic. And Comrade Trigorin will ensure that you're not searched. He'll sip you a blood capsule as he ties the blindfold around you and positions the metal plate close by your heart.
In However, by Al Hunter, John Gordon Sinclair played Andrei Tarasbulba. Willie Rushton played Tsar Nikolai. Alison Dowling played the Princess Elisabetta. And Graham Steed played Peter Dmitri Petrovich Romanov III. Count Boris Matvey Semyonich Yeltsin was played by Timothy Carlton, Captain Nikolai Trigorin by David Richard Fox, and Lady Karenina by Avril Clark. Norman Jones played Sergeant Andropov, Timothy Bateson played Corporal Leonid Sorin Brezhnev, and Sean Prendergast was Alexei Kosygin and Mikhail Gorbachev, with music by Prokofiev. However, was directed by Adrian Bean.